a long time ago, I heard that song. Probably a very different version than what you guys were used to. But the band Cutlass covered that song. And I think it was after, I can't remember the song off the top of my head, but it was kind of the ending of a really beautiful song. And that song played. I broke down in tears. It made me think of, you know, when I was a teenager, I wasn't really living for the Lord. And I know there's seasons of life where we feel like temptations kind of take us away from God. But friends, there's hope. There's hope this morning that regardless of our sin, regardless of where we are now, God, in Jesus, we can have victory over that. And so I remember thinking in high school that I wasn't really living for the Lord, and it took an Alliance youth trip to St. Louis, Missouri, at a thing called Life, not the Prince song, but a youth conference, where I really dealt with God for the first time about issues in my life. And so I just pray this morning that if you've never really dealt with God, the altar's open. And sometimes we just need to go one-on-one, and sometimes we need the pastor or other believers. So I just ask, if you need prayer on this morning, feel free to come forward, and I'd love to pray for you. This morning, we'll be in the book of Romans, and today's service will be a little different in the sense of that I won't really be giving a sermon. I'll be giving an overview of the entire book of Romans as we'll be going through a sermon series called Romans, A Roadmap of the Christian Faith. And I'm sure all of us have heard the Romans Road, right? It's kind of the, I wouldn't say it's cheesy of how we get people the gospel, but it's solid, right? It's based on scripture, but people know the Romans Road. It's all throughout Romans where Paul walks us through the Christian life. And so I base my title on that this morning, that Romans is a roadmap for the Christian faith. So when you think of Rome, or you think of Romans, or you think of the book of Romans, what comes to mind? Any questions? What comes to mind? Or any answers, not questions. What comes to your mind, Rick, when you think of Romans? Right. Anyone else? When you think of Rome, what comes to mind? So I won't call you guys out if you don't want to answer, but.
Great buildings, great
roads,
they were powerful.
Yeah, aqueducts. You think of interstructure, our own government. Think of government. Our own government is based on the Roman democracy. So it's interesting that even like 2,000 plus years later, the system of democracy still stands. I know there's caveats of that. I won't dive into that. But you think about the Romans have had a very significant influence on our world today. When I think of Romans, I think of Little Caesar. I'm just kidding. Little Caesar's pizza. No. But Caesar was a Roman. Anyway, the point being that Rome, the Roman government, and the Roman society have had a huge influence on our world today. So just to add some things, when you think of Rome, you think of the great Colosseum, right? We've all seen pictures of Rome have a great Colosseum where they had gladiator matches. I've seen the movie Gladiator. It's pretty gory, so don't watch it. You think of Russell Crowe in this like big outfit, right? And then you think of Italy. Rome is the capital of Italy, so you think of the country Italy. When I think of Rome, I think of polytheism. And polytheism back in Bible times, even now, means that they worship more than one God. This was evident as the Apostle Paul was defending Christianity to these Roman believers. I also think of artistic masterpieces when I think of Rome. How many of you know Leonardo da Vinci or can't think of his name right now. The Sistine Chapel. Can't think of his name. Michelangelo. But I'm sure you guys have seen those famous, beautiful paintings of Jesus at the Last Supper, or the picture of Jesus, the portrait of Jesus, and just various religious paintings. That happened in Rome. So even Rome in the 1600s and the Renaissance was a culture, a center of culture and center of the world. So I chose to do a sermon series on the book of Romans because the book of Romans does an excellent job of explaining the Christian life. The first 11 chapters focus on Christian doctrine, our beliefs that we commit to our lives to God, and to the lives as we live out Jesus as his followers. In a confusing world today, it's easy to get lost and distracted from the heart of God. This is why I chose Romans. There's a lot of things the enemy is trying to seek, kill, and destroy and take away from us, from God. We don't have to look very far to see how corrupt humanity is. We know we can look at the news each morning. Sadly, I wasn't aware of this until the service was over last Sunday, but there was a mass shooting in Pittsburgh, our backyard. And so, friends, we don't have to go very far to see how bad and dark our world is in sin. The truth is, humanity is very lost without God. And without God, there's no hope. It would be a life separated from the Lord Jesus. So studying Romans will give us a correct understanding of how to worship God and how to live as Christians in a difficult world. So hopefully this sermon series will give us an excellent glimpse of why we need to worship the Lord Jesus. So a little bit of background about Romans. You might think of who is the author. Well, the Apostle Paul, who is this handsome fellow right here, is the author of Romans. Paul was from a Jewish tribe of Benjamin, which we know that Benjamin was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he was a Roman citizen born in the city of Tarsus. I should have a map. I'll show you next week where Tarsus is. But he wrote the book of Romans in 57 AD to faithful Christian followers in the Church of Rome. While he was growing up, he spent a significant amount of time in Jerusalem studying under the great rabbi Gamaliel. It's on the next slide. I probably pronounced that really wrong. But Jesus also studied under that great rabbi. He was also zealous in law. He was a Pharisee. And so when you think of the Pharisees, they're the ones that, you know, were kind of the antagonists, right, of Jesus. They held the law and they wouldn't budge on anything that he taught about. But the Apostle Paul was also a Pharisee. So keep that in mind this morning, that God can redeem anybody, and he redeemed the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was miraculously converted to Christianity by meeting Christ in Damascus and had the marvelous blindness of Jesus in Acts 9. And he was healed of that, and then he was commissioned to be an apostle. Out of all 66 books of the Bible, the Apostle Paul is probably the most influential author that we have of Christianity. He wrote half of the New Testament. And according to John MacArthur, he was responsible for Christianity's growth in the Roman Empire throughout just the different colonies of the Roman Empire. Paul even made 3 missionary journeys to the Mediterranean area and had a lot of impact in getting Christ spread to the nations. Paul had a fervent, so what's really interesting about Paul when you think about missions in the day, Paul had a very fervent heart for getting the missions out to the world. And so, unlike today, we can go on Google Earth and we can like zoom in on like Zambia and these different countries that we've never really heard of. But back in the day, they didn't really have Google search engines or they didn't have world maps of where things were. But the Apostle Paul knew about Spain and Rome, and that to him, that was the ends of the earth. And so he was willing and wanting to go to the ends of the earth. For him, that was Spain. We know Paul never made it there, but he had quite the ambition to go. So, you're a little cut off. I'm sorry about that. Dave will do something handy, I'm sure. And that's interesting. We'll talk about the background of Romans. So we heard about the author. Now we're going to hear about the background of why Paul wrote the book of Romans. So Paul wrote this letter to the Romans and was apparently wrapping up his work in the East. And he had wintered in Corinth and planned to make a stop in Jerusalem before going on to Rome and Spain. Paul was making a visit to Jerusalem to bring a monetary gift to the poor and encourage their faith. Paul did this before he headed to Rome. Paul was writing to these Roman believers to encourage them of their faith and to stay the faith despite what was going on around them. So I mentioned before that Rome was full of polytheistic gods, polytheistic worship. And so as Christians, we worship one God, worship, God in 3 persons. And for them, they had many gods. And so Paul was writing to confront that, to encourage these believers to stay strong in a government that didn't really like Christianity. Kind of sounds similar today in our world in a lot of places. So the Church of Rome was likely founded during Pentecost. So in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, they were likely spread out after that. And so Paul was writing to these believers who have heard the word at Pentecost. Paul himself had heard the great news about what God was doing in Rome, but neither himself nor the apostles had ever visited them. Though Paul had never personally met these Roman believers, he clearly crafted a letter in showing his great love for them and his encouragement to them as his fellow brothers and sisters. Paul then sent this letter to the Romans to introduce himself, to show that he was making plans that he would one day visit them. So we'll just climb, as I mentioned. So according to Bible study tools, the Roman religion was originally more consistent than the Greeks because the deities, as conceived by the unimaginative Latin genius, were entirely without human character. They were the influence of forces which directed their visible phenomena of the physical world. So meaning that the Greeks had more kind of like spiritual gods, whereas the Romans kind of, or vice versa. The Greeks had more kind of like physical, like human gods, like the gods looked human, but whereas the Romans kind of had more of like spiritual figures that didn't really take the appearance of humans. It was incongruous to assume the existence of a system of theological doctrines in a primitive period, meaning that there wasn't really a consistency of beliefs. Ethical considerations entered to only limited extent into the attitude of Romans towards their gods. And so basically between, like, they kind of picked and choose what they thought about their gods. Like, there were some they really loved, some they really hate, and they didn't really care kind of what they thought. The Romans were naturally polytheistic as a result of their conception of divinity, so they believed that their gods, there's multiple gods, not one god. Since before the dawn of science, there was no semblance of unity in the natural world. There could be no unity in heaven. So like us as Christians, we believe there's unity in heaven. They didn't believe that. There must be a controlling spirit over every important object or class of object, every person, every process of nature. The gods, therefore, were numerous more than mankind itself. And so you think of like, just to give you an example, they believe that there was like a god of this piece of paper. There was a god of like that chair. And we know that's not true, but that's what they believed. And so they had multiple gods for multiple things. Like they had a god of, a goddess of love, a god of thunder, Thor, or that's probably more Nordic, but that's not Thor. My bad, I'm getting my wrong religions wrong. They had a god like Zeus. They had he was kind of like the main god. But the point being is they had multiple gods for multiple things, where we have one God who created all. And so really, Romans, it's interesting. When you look at the book of Romans, you read chapter 1 of how corrupt humanity is, and you look at their society, you look at our society today, it's very similar. It's really eye-opening. Romans talks about how corrupt humanity is in the sense of they knew God. God gave us the world to look at and to cultivate as his people, his followers, but yet we rejected God. Look at Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But Romans 1, it's kind of a reiteration of that. It says they know that humanity claimed to know God, yet they rejected him and followed their own devices and made their own false idols. And so you look at the Roman world, it's really interesting how parallel it is to the Garden of Eden in chapter 3 when humanity fell, and also today. It's very shocking just what was going on politically, what was going on ethically, what was going on morally, and just sin issues. It's interesting how we haven't really changed without God. Should say that. So here are some main themes of the book of Romans. So in the 16 chapters that we're going to look at in the upcoming weeks, we're going to look at sin, we're going to look at salvation, look at human depravity. This is primarily chapter 1. Look at Christian growth. How do we grow in our faith as Christians? We look at God's sovereignty, that God is sovereignly ruling over every aspect of our lives and every aspect of our world. Christian service, how do we serve one another? Looking at spiritual leadership, how do we lead those in the faith? Looking up God's wrath against sin. God hates sin. That's why Jesus had to pay the penalty of death, right? And so we know that God hates sin, so we're looking at that. Salvation by grace alone through faith alone. So we know that salvation for us as believers comes by grace through faith. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 2, that it's by faith in Christ they died on the cross that we have salvation. And so... And then finally, one of the biggest topics we'll be talking about in Romans is the believer's responsibility to government. We know that in our society today, we serve God, but we also live in a society that's governed by rules we call, you know, U.S. law, U.S. constitutional law. And so we'll be looking at how did the Romans live in their world with kind of strict government? How do we live as Christians honoring God and also honoring our government without stepping bounds of serving one over another, because God is more important, of course, than our governmental beliefs, but we, as citizens in this world, we need to obey societal rules as well, because that's honoring what people do. So I know this is a little dark, but this is an outline of the book of Romans. So in chapter 1, primarily through chapter 3, is the introduction of the book of Romans. And so the biggest topic we'll be looking at in that is justification by faith. And so we'll be looking at the sin, the need for salvation, the need of the Gentiles, the need of the Jews, why is sin needed for both parties, and the universal need for sin. We all need our salvation. We all need salvation. We're looking at justification by faith, the provision for salvation. So why do we need to be justified before God? We're looking at the freedom of salvation. So in salvation, we're free from God's wrath. We're free from sin. We're free from the law. And finally, we're free from death's grip. And so we know as believers that when we go on to pass away, that's not the final say. We know that we have eternal life in Christ. And so for those outside the kingdom of God, sadly they don't. They go spend eternity in hell. So we're looking at that. What does freedom from death really mean? We're looking at the Jews and the Gentiles, the scope of salvation. And so we know in Paul's writing this letter, he's writing to, of course, the church in Rome, but he's also writing to two groups of people, the Jewish followers of Christ and the Gentile followers of Christ. And us, there may be Jewish blood in here, I'm not sure if your ancestry, but for most of us, we're Gentiles. We're apart from God's original people, but we were grafted in through Christ Jesus. And so there was a lot of bickering going on in Rome between the different parties of believers, and so we'll be looking at that. What does it mean to live in a world where there might be ethnically difficulties among believers? We think about our world today. There's a lot of upheaval, not just politically but racially among Christians. And so that it's kind of interesting how this parallels our society today. So we're looking at that as well. We're looking at the transformed life. What does it mean to live a redeemed life in Christ? What does it mean to be transformed by His Spirit and conformed to His will and His mind while living in a secular world? What does that look like practically? It's hard to be a Christian, friends, in our world today, especially with a lot of things going on. But how do we do that? We'll be looking at that. And so we'll break it down in relation to overall conduct. How do we conduct ourselves? How do we stand up for what is right, what we believe, but also be honoring to those around us and their beliefs? We'll also be looking at the relation to civil authority. How do we obey the government? But what is the point of when we might have to disobey? So we're looking at that. We're also looking at how do we love our fellow brother and sister when it's difficult to love. We're also looking at how do we correct or love a weak brethren in the faith. And so I know that all of us have different stages we're different stages of our walk with Christ. And so some of us are struggles in some sin, some don't. But we all have a role to play in encouraging one another in that. So we'll be looking at that as well. And then we'll be looking at the conclusion of Romans in a few weeks. Paul basically in Romans 15 and 16 just gives some concluding remarks about his book, or the letter, I should say, to the Romans, and gives a final benediction. And so here are some important scriptures to memorize, and I'll give you guys a moment if you can see that and write them down. We'll be looking at some of the key verses in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We'll be also looking at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We'll be looking at Romans 6, 23. We'll be looking at Romans 5, 28, Romans chapter 10, and Romans 12, 1. And I can actually read these for you as well, so you have an idea of what I'll be sharing. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We've all heard this, I'm sure. The Apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but it's because of the power of the God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles." So that's Romans 1, 16. And then Romans 3, 23. We've all heard this, I'm sure, is well quoted, but I'll read it again. Romans 3, 23. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Then Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." And then Romans 5:28, "That while we're still sinners, Christ died for us." And so you see this theme, right? You see this theme of salvation, of being redeemed from our sins. And so that's something that you want to keep in mind as we study the book of Romans. And I'll skip 10 for now because it's the whole chapter. And kudos to you if you can memorize the whole chapter of the Bible. I'm amazed by these old rabbis in the Old Testament. They memorize scripture, and they have memorized like scrolls of scripture. And friends, it's sometimes it's hard just to memorize 5 words. But kudos to you if you can memorize the whole chapter. That'd be awesome. And then Romans 12:1, Paul says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what is good, or God's holy will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And that's it. And so it's a little bit short this morning in the sense of I want to prepare our hearts for that. I want to spend more time in prayer this morning. So if you'd like to pray and stick around and pray, I'd love to pray for you. We can pray corporately. And if you feel led to pray out, pray out. But if not, that's okay. And so I'd like to spend the rest of our time today praying for our world, praying for our nation, praying for each other, praying for whatever comes to mind. And so if you just bow with me, we'll just spend some time in prayer. God, I'm thankful that you've given us the book of Romans, that you've given us the blueprint of Christianity, really through the Bible. But Lord, the book of Romans speaks tremendous truth about you and about what you've done on the cross. And Lord, it really fleshes out what you've done. And God, we know that in chapter 1, it's kind of a gut punch. God, that Romans 1 shows how corrupt humanity really is. Lord, that men give themselves over to men, women give themselves to women, and kind of just corruptness of evil. And not just that, but it talks about people being slanderers or gossiping, that people talk behind people's backs or they commit heinous acts of murder and just whatever can come to mind, Lord, our mind could go there. But God, we're grateful that if you read Romans 1 and you didn't read verse 16, you just read 18 through the end of the chapter, Lord, we'd be without hope. There'd be no point of anything in life. It'd be, seriously, Lord, just try to live the best you can in your world. But God, we're thankful that you wrote the entire Bible and that you wrote chapter 2 through chapter 16 that shows your plan of salvation. So God, we're grateful for that this morning. We're grateful that the world doesn't just stay corrupt, Lord, but you came to bring a way about ending corruptness. Lord, we know that you're coming back as our conquering king, and we celebrate that, Lord, that the corruptness of our world and sin would go away. And you're coming back. We don't know the day and hour, Lord, but we know that you're coming quickly. And so, Lord, that we, as we read the book of Romans, we'd see that with eternal eyes that you're coming. And we celebrate that this morning. God, we just pray for our nation, Lord. We pray as Christians that are hopefully law-abiding citizens, Lord, because you call us to do that, Lord. You call us to follow the rules and laws, but also, Lord, you call us to challenge that, too, if it infringes upon our belief in you. But, Lord, I just pray that we just pray for our government, we pray for our president, we pray for the vice president, the staff, the cabinet. Lord, we pray for our governors, Lord. It is a dark time in our world, Lord. We look how divisive it was the past 2 years, not only in church, but in our world. Lord, and it's sad to see brothers and sisters in Christ bickering about things that don't matter, Lord. You matter, and that's what matters, God. And we can get so divisive about little things. But, Lord, I just pray that you would really draw us together in unity, Lord, because that's what's really missing in church today and when our world today is unity for you. And so, God, I pray that we'd be unified in one love for you, one love for our church in Butler and for the world, and one love for missions. And, God, I pray that our hearts would be broken for you and just the brokenness of our world. And God, that we'd really get messy, or we'd step down to the places where we don't really feel comfortable in reaching people for you. But God, I pray that we do that. God, because you call us to do that. You call us to go and seek the lost. Or because you came to seek and save the lost. And as your disciples, we should do that as well, because we're mandated to do it. And so God, I don't know in Butler where there might be things maybe in the island or just areas where it might not be comfortable to be in, but Lord, you need to be there. You're there anyway, but you need us to have a presence there as well as your followers. And so, Lord, I just pray that He's put opportunities or things in our hearts or prayers in our hearts and minds for those kind of opportunities, God, because everyone needs to know the gospel. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, if you're Asian, if you're Hispanic. It doesn't matter what creator, ethnic background you come from, Lord. We're all made in the created image of God. And so, Lord, I pray that we would cross boundaries in your name, in your love, Lord, that you would break barriers that maybe prevent us in our own comfortability of doing. And Lord, we know that you reign on high, you reign in love. And so, Lord, I just pray that that this year, the rest of 2022, not only for our church, but for the church across the United States and the world, will be unified in love for you, Lord. Because I'm amazed of how powerful your word really is, Lord. You just look at our world through missions, and Lord, you see how great these great revivals and how just your church is being built up, Lord, even in the midst of difficulty and oppression. You look at Africa, you look at China, you look at these other places. But God, you look at the United States, and it's like we have your word. We have thousands of copies of your various translations of the Bible. We have access to these study tools. We have access to churches. We have access to pastors. We have access to, you name it, Lord, to help us in our faith. Yet we still don't believe like we should. And Lord, and so I just pray that you just stir the United States church, that you just stir our hearts to be a beacon of hope, Lord. And if we're really a Christian nation, I just pray that you'd just shine through that, Lord. We really believe that one nation under God, that would be you, God. You're the God that we believe in. And so, Lord, I just proclaim that today, that that we worship you and love you this morning. And God, we just pray, again, if there's any burdens this morning, if there's any issues that people need to go before you, I just pray that that we just deal with them, Lord, that we get right with you, God, because our life really is short. You know, thinking about Brother Wallace's son, 33 years is not a long time, Lord. And it's sad, but it's to realize that, Lord, we're not given a lot of time. Lord, we don't know the day and the hour that you're taking us home. We don't know the day and hour we might get sick. We might not be able to function as normally as we can, Lord, but we know in that moment we still trust your grace and goodness. But Lord, I pray that each day we live out on fire for you. And God, I pray a revival. I pray a revival in our church, and then a revival in the United States church, in the global Christian church. Lord, that you would be the only thought and love that we have, God, because without you, nothing matters. And you made that abundantly clear in the book of Romans. And so, God, I pray that you would be on our hearts this morning. And you'd be on our thoughts as we go through this sermon series. And so, Lord, I just ask that that we just see you with clear eyes. We see how broken our world is through your eyes and see the need for you. And so, Lord, I just pray, whether it be at a coffee shop or to be maybe at work or maybe at the grocery store, we'd just start conversations about you. Though difficult, I pray, Holy Spirit, you just give us the encouragement to do that. And so, Lord, as we close and we invite the worship team up, Lord, I just pray that we'd honor you in all things. And so, Lord, I just pray in your mighty name that today would be the day we start living for you. And I know we have, Lord, but I pray today would be the day that we proclaim that this is the day we've made, that we'll rejoice and be glad in you, and that this is our house of worship where we proclaim your goodness and your truth and your love. Lord, there's a sign above Christy in my door at our parsonage, Lord, that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Lord, I have to echo that, this is the house of God, and that God, that today, as for me and in our house that you've given me to lead, that we'd serve you the rest of our days. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd be a house of love and hope for the community as well. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Let us stand and worship.
This is my desire to honor you. All my heart, I worship you. give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, I give you my heart.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
I live for you alone.
Every moment I take, every moment I'm awake, have your way in me. As Gene continues to play, I'd like to read you a priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they'll put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." And friends, we are blessed to be a blessing as Christians. We have the greatest gift of all, the greatest hope of all, Jesus Christ. We saw it last week in Easter. The greatest gift was him rising from the grave to give us eternal life, dying for our sins, and rising to give us eternal life. And so I think that this week we need to ponder that this morning, that we are blessed beyond all measure. We're not just blessed in the sense of resources God's given us, but we're blessed because of what he's done for us. And the Lord turned his face towards creation and said to Matt, said to Gene, to Rick, to everybody out here, that I love you enough that I sent my son to die for you. And so we see that clearly in Scripture, that God, though we are deserving of judgment for our wrath and deserving of the penalty of sin, he sent his son Jesus to die for that. And so he died in our place so we wouldn't have to die. And so, friends, we know that's the greatest blessing of all, is in Christ Jesus. And so I pray that this morning that you would rest in that, that you would believe that, and that you proclaim his goodness this morning. So I just pray that you'd have a great rest of your day. You'd have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the sunshine and fellowship with your family, your friends. And I just pray that in all things you give God the glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful. We're thankful that you love us enough that you sent our son. That you sent your son. That you loved us enough to step down from heaven. The comfortability of what you have up there, I'm sure, Lord, beyond what we have here. But you gave up your son to die for us, Lord. And there's no words that we could say to thank you for that, Lord. And I know that we need to be more grateful as a society. I think we're more grateful about you or just things that we'd be happier. Lord, I know that's for me too. It's convicting that sometimes I'm not a very thankful person. And so, Lord, I just pray today that you'd help me be thankful for the greatest gift of all, your mercy in your Son Jesus. So Lord, I just pray that you just help us to be loving people, to be ambassadors of you, of your light to a dark world. And God, I pray in all things that we just live to give you glory, to give hope to the nations. And Lord, that our desire would be to worship and honor you in all things. It doesn't matter if we're at home watching NASCAR or football. We can have friends over and enjoy that. We can be honoring in that, but we're honoring relationships, Lord, because people see our relationships. And really, that's really a mirror of our Christian faith. So Lord, I pray we'll be honoring you in our relationships as we love our spouses, love our maybe our kids or grandkids, if we love mom and dad or grandparents. I pray that we would be the beacon of hope in our world. And so Lord, I pray that morning we'd be that blessing to them. Lord, I just pray for peace. I just pray for love in our nation, that your love would remain on high. And Lord, I just pray that you just give us rest this morning as we enjoy you. It's in your holy name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.